With Montana News, I'm Eric Whitney. Montana Governor Steve Bullock has qualified for the second televised debate among candidates vying for the Democratic Party nomination to run for president. That's according to CNN, which is hosting the debate, to be held July 30 and 31st in Detroit. In a written statement today, Bullock said he's, quote, excited to add his voice to the next DNC debate. Bullock, who entered the race relatively late in May, failed to qualify for the initial Democratic presidential primary candidate's televised debate at the end of June. To qualify for the first two Democratic debates, candidates had to either score 1% in at least three polls or amass support from 65,000 unique donors. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has partially opened two of the Fort Peck Dam's spillway gates to relieve the rising water level in the reservoir. The Billings Gazette reports Fort Peck had been holding back water on the upper Missouri River because of this year's flooding downstream in South Dakota, Nebraska, and Kansas. The water in the dam had reached an elevation of nearly 2,247 feet, with the top of the gates at 2,250 feet. Opening the gates on Monday brings the amount of water moving through the dam to 15,000 cubic feet per second. The Corps' Darren McMurray says that will likely be the level through August. Last year's peak releases from Fort Peck Dam were 20,000 cubic feet per second. The Montana Supreme Court has ruled against a woman seeking information about the police investigation into her brother's unsolved death and dismemberment in 2011. The court ruled 5-0 yesterday that the release of the 1,000-page file would harm the 8-year-old investigation into John Michael Kreitz's death.
With Montana News, I'm Kevin Trevelin. Montana and North Dakota are petitioning the U.S. Department of Transportation to overturn a new Washington state law that could jeopardize rail shipments of crude oil from the Bakken region. Washington's new statutes require oil shipped by rail through the state to have volatile gases removed to reduce the risk of explosive and potentially deadly derailments. Bakken crude typically doesn't meet that threshold, which Montana Attorney General Tim Fox says could make it uneconomical to send west via tanker car if the law goes into effect later this month.
And the oil produced from the Bakken formation, particularly since the hydraulic fracturing era, is very important not only to jobs in the economy in this state, but also to tax revenues.
Last year, Montana produced about 21 million barrels of oil, most of that from its slice of the Bakken. Washington's new law would essentially require producers to pre-process the oil before it's loaded onto a railway to be refined in the Pacific Northwest. Alternatively, the product could be trucked to Washington, but Fox says that infrastructure isn't in place. The Attorney General says Washington's new statutes are preempted by decades-old federal standards intended to create uniformity for shipping hazardous materials across the country. The national guidelines provide more wiggle room for acceptable volatile gas pressures. Montana and North Dakota's petition is now expected to undergo a public comment period. Authorities in Montana have issued an endangered person advisory for a 16-year-old boy who's been missing for 3 weeks. The Department of Justice advisory issued today said Marshall Damon was last seen June 29th in Big Timber. He was wearing a gray or white sweatshirt and white tennis shoes and may have been heading to Great Falls or Livingston. There's more information on our webpage, mtpr.org. Yellowstone National Park says that its Mount Holmes fire lookout burned to the ground yesterday afternoon after being struck by lightning. The fire also damaged a park radio repeater. The fire lookout is located southwest of Mammoth Hot Springs and north of Madison Junction. Built in 1931 and renovated in 1998, the Mount Holmes fire lookout remained staffed until 2007. The building was eligible for inclusion on the National Register of Historic Places. As of today, portions of Mount Holmes Trail are closed as a result of the fire. The Lolo National Forest announced today that over 65,000 tree seedlings were planted across the area burned in the Lolo Peak Fire in 2017. The planting occurred in May thanks to a partnership with the National Forest Foundation, which donated $30,000 to purchase seedlings for the project. Wes Swaffer, director of reforestation and partnerships for the Forest Foundation, says early reports show the seeds have high survivability and the conditions should make for continued success.
In some cases, fires burn so severe or they burn across sites that don't have a chance to regenerate on their own. And so by, you know, proverbially planting a seed or seedlings, we're allowing that forest cover to persist for decades to come.
Missoula District Ranger Jennifer Hensick says the area should be safe from another burn for quite a few years. The seedling area will be monitored by the Forest Service over the next few years, and continued maintenance for the seedlings could include placing animal browsing protection over the baby trees and providing shade cover. For more local news, visit mtpr.org. The Chippewa Cree Nation is considering a change in its constitution that would ease the amendment process. Yellowstone Public Radio News' Olivia Reingold reports.
The Chippewa Cree Business Committee agreed to start the process to hold a vote on amending their constitution last week. Richard Sangree, the committee's chief of staff, says it's about time. Under the current constitution, he says he has to constantly call the U.S. Secretary of the Interior in Washington, D.C. for approval on things like lease agreements and new enrollees.
Sometimes it'll just lay on somebody's desk and you have to look for it.
You mean you have to call and say, hey, has anyone looked over this X, Y, and Z request?
Where's our water code? Where's this code?
The Chippewa Cree are one of about 180 tribal nations that adopted their constitutions as part of the Indian Reorganization Act of the 1930s. They include boilerplate language that the Bureau of Indian Affairs provided to help tribes write their own constitutions. But now, Sangree says that language requiring the Interior Secretary's approval...
It's really a hassle a lot of times because we do need those in order for us to confront modern issues, really.
Malin Smith, a law professor at the University of Montana, says the amendment change is needed.
If you're a sovereign government, you should not have to be getting approval from the Department of Interior for the operations of your sovereign government.
She says she sometimes consults with tribes who have constitutions that require the Interior Secretary to sign off on all amendment changes, including an amendment change that would write the Interior Secretary out of future changes. In the Chippewa Cree Constitution, that's Article 10.
Any tribe that still has that in their constitution, my recommendation is you should amend your constitution and get that out of there.
The tribe will vote on making that change once it collects the signatures it needs to hold an election. Future changes could touch on enrollment and leasing of tribal lands. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Reingold.
Olivia Reingold is YPRN's Report for America Corps member.